Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here and joining me, Mylon Yurkovich and Becky Brown. Hello there, the two of you.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Mylon.
Hi, and hello there, the two of you as well.
You know what rhymes with danger?
Manger.
Yes, and that we'll use that on our Christmas show.
Ranger.
I'm thinking, that's where I was born.
Manger, ranger, danger.
Okay, this is not exactly a rhyme, but it's close. Anger.
Okay.
And if you are angry, I've got a tip sheet for you, and there are 10 tips to overcome anger. Now, you know, the root, here's one of them. The root of your anger may lie in a lack of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've never forgiven someone who's hurt you, you're caught in this vicious trap that's ultimately going to destroy you. Now, why haven't we forgiven? Maybe we know it's important to forgive, but we haven't. Maybe we forgave too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we forgave, but we never fully dealt with the pain or the loss that was caused from whatever it was that happened to us. And it just makes sense that if that hasn't been resolved, then you're going to be stuck with some lingering anger. It's going to affect every relationship.
Mm-hmm, for sure. You know, in the book that we did, 100 Days of Freedom from Anger, Steve, we explored the idea of the lack of control can cause us to be angry because we think that the whole world should operate at the way that we think it should. I mean, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but
No, I think you're right.
I tell you, one of the lab results or testing results is when you're in a car and you're expecting everyone to drive the right way or drive the way that you think they should. If you have an anger problem, it might show up in that car on your way to wherever you're going. But I think a lot of people misread their anger. They don't understand that the control they're trying to exert is actually going to core of anger or roots of anger somewhere in their life.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're rocking along here and you don't know you're angry. And mm-hmm. your body starts telling you you got something to deal with. And so you end up with heart palpitations or high blood pressure or things like that. The key here is you don't have to be angry. There is a path out of anger. And we have talked to people on this show. 20 years they had this tremendous resentment. And then finally they're asking for some help. 20 years. You don't have to wait that long. We can help you. If you want these 10 ways to overcome anger, we would love to help you with that. Now, I would like to go to a caller right here in the beginning to Adam from Scranton, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM, channel 131 at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. It's a little scratchy there where you are, but I think we'll be okay. How could we help? Oh, there's the music. Tell us what the problem is going to be, and we'll talk about it during the break.
I've been married for 18 years. I'll keep it short because I know how radio works. We'll come back from the break. I've been married for 18 years. I've been having some really terrible issues. My wife is out of the home now. She's been out of the home in and out for about roughly a year. And there's certain things that have taken place throughout the 18 years that I think have led to where we are now. And when we come back from the break, perhaps you guys could tell me if there is a viable path to saving my marriage.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you called. Sounds pretty serious to me. You're listening to New Life Live. We'd love to help you if you ever need help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And of course, our marriage intensive is this thing that really performs some miracles, or God does the miracle through it. You can find out at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Adam calling us. Wife's been out of the home for a year. Why is it that she's been out of your home for a whole year there, Adam?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question again? I'm so sorry.
Why has she been out of the home for a year?
So, leading up to last year, she had spent a good maybe 10 years accusing me of cheating, but in all reality, she was essentially projecting onto me what she was out doing. It's kind of impossible to cheat on your spouse when you're the one staying home with the kids, cooking, cleaning, making sure the house is straightened out, and you know, all the things that come along with kind of being the homemaker, if you will. So, in 2009, she began to accuse me of having these extramarital affairs with individuals who I have never even met to begin with. So, that kind of set me into a realm of depression. I've dealt with it for years. In 2016, she kind of called it quits. And thanks to some family members who happen to be Christian, I grew up in an evangelical Christian home. You know, they told me, Adam, just pray. You know, God is going to take care of the situation. And over the last 5 years, she's been holding this resentment over these alleged relationships that I've had, which I last year even went to the extent of proving that they were lies because I found these women. And, you know, I confronted them. And, you know, she's still doubling down on the lies.
But you say, you know, she's unfaithful? Did you say she
has been. Yes, sir.
Okay.
She has been, yes.
And what did she do about resolving that?
Nothing. The only thing that she's ever done is really she's doubled down on the accusations. So once I proved that I had never even met these women, she proceeded to state that my mom, who happens to be a Christian of over 20-some-odd years, that my mom is paying these women to cover for me. You know, she's gone off and said that, you know, I have family members that are helping me cover for these things that I've, you know, once again, I've never even met these women.
So is she delusional, you know, look, or is this intentional, or is she delusional?
Well, the intentional part, I think that's probably more accurate, and you know, it's at this point it kind of saddens me because the three oldest out of our four kids continuously tell me that I'm the one who's delusional because I keep trying to fix things with her. And over the last year, she's left, you know, about maybe six times, and then if you include the time that she left in 2016, that's about seven times now that she's come and left, or you know, left and came back. And
okay,
and I'm just
two affairs.
Trying to hold on to my marriage.
Two affairs. She said two affairs. No remorse. Why are you? And now she's not living there, and continued causing problems for you. Why are you still with her?
That's what my kids keep asking me.
Well, we want to see marriages fixed. We want to see marriages fixed, but you have to have people that also want them fixed. And I wonder if she would, if you could say to her, I think the least we could do is go to this intensive called How We Love, because we've saved a lot of marriages like this. Unless she is literally delusional, and this is not something that she's intentionally doing, it's something that's in her head, but it's not real.
Can I ask a question? Adam,
sure.
In all of this time, have you guys ever sought help for the two of you? Not just independently, but the two of you to sit with a counselor, pastor, whatever, to talk about this mess?
So when she came back at the end of the summer of 2016, she threw in my face that she knew what she knew. And honestly, I think she was doing it intentionally just so she can have an excuse to leave. When she came back, I sought help individually, and I was hoping that that would lead to us being able to go together and seeking help. And
okay.
I believe I went to about three sessions, and every time I came back from one of those individual sessions, she would always greet me with, "How did the visit to the crazy doctor go?"
And it was right. Like, okay. So the answer is that you guys haven't done anything together in order to save or work on the marriage. And the hard part is that the chaos is what is the focus of your marriage. Like, you guys probably mm-hmm. spent a lot of energy and a lot of time managing all of this chaotic behavior. And I agree with you, Steve. You know, it'd be great if they would come to intimacy and marriage. But here's the thing, Adam. There is a reason for you not to draw the line and say, okay, we're done with this. What is the reason that you're not doing that?
And what she said, if you didn't hear it, what is the... She's asking the reason that you haven't said, okay, that is enough. I have to draw the line here. This is something that Jesus talked about when somebody's unfaithful. She's asking, why haven't you reached that point with her?
I think predominantly because I grew up in a broken home. And, you know, for the most part, I've growing up, you know, my dream was to have a home where, you know, when I had kids, if I had kids, which in this case I had four of them with her, the only four kids that I have, you know, I wanted to make sure that they were going to grow up in a nuclear home. And I've continuously tried and tried and tried to keep the family together, but...
Well, I think they've grown up in a nuclear home, but it's not the kind of nuclear you want. I mean, it's just been one disaster after the other.
So can you see that that might have been the kind of the false god in all of this that has caused some things to get out of hand that don't need to be? Let's talk to Mylon. Mylon, what are you thinking? Mm-hmm.
Well, Adam, what are your kids saying? They're saying you're the delusional one for staying with her. What are their reflections, and what is their commentary on Mom?
So the oldest out of the two boys, he's now 14, and he's the one that's constantly telling me, "Daddy, you're delusional." But the three oldest, because, you know, the 4-year old, you know, he's just there. But the three oldest ones, you know, they. From the onset back in 2016, you know, they've pretty much been steady the entire time. You know, Daddy, you know, when I brought it up to them in 2016, should we go drive up there to her mom's house in Massachusetts? We're in Pennsylvania, and which, mind you, we ended up in Pennsylvania because of her. But the whole thing is, you know, they told me, "Daddy, can we please just not go?" I went against the grain, brought her back. She spent 5 years, and for the, you know, the good past 5 years, she's essentially always said in front of the kids, "Well, I'm sacrificing," and I never understood what she meant by that until last year.
Adam, hold on 1 second.
Well, I'll tell you. Go ahead.
I just want to know what the kids think of their mom.
I know. I digress. They want nothing to do with her. That's the plain and.
And they want nothing to do with her because what do they see and feel around her?
They have seen me suffer around her. They've suffered around her. She's levied some pretty disgusting lies about me and the kids. And they feel extremely hurt.
Okay, so there's...
And they feel like there's no recourse.
Okay, so... If you believe them, and there's no reason you shouldn't, but mm-hmm. what you have is a collective wisdom there in the family. You have you have the three older kids, and they're saying, "Dad, something's mm-hmm. really wrong here with Mom." And you can use that as leverage to ask Mom to get help. You can use that for leverage to ask the court system to have your wife get help and try to figure out what's going on with her. I think one of the things you really need to help those kids with is to rescue them. They're saying, I want out of being around mom. And that's quite a majority, okay? And I think you need to pay attention to that and realize it's not just your marriage. I'd love to see a marriage restored. That's what I do for a living. But we have to pay attention to the kids and show them that their voice matters here. All right?
All right.
So here's the thing. You want to keep the family together. It is a mistake for anyone to say, I want to keep the family together at all costs.
Right.
Especially when the cost is to the children. I have to give up my desire or my dream for reality. And if you don't do it now, your kids are going to hate you for not doing it.
Right.
We see it all the time. So,
well, and some of the kids, this is their whole life.
Yep.
Like, this isn't, like, in your mind, Adam, you've got these timelines, but for these kids, this is their life. This is their childhood.
Mm-hmm. So I think you've got to do something different, and it isn't, you know, the first, you know, if she was hitting the kids, we would say, get your kids to safety. Okay, she's not hitting them, but the emotional trauma is hitting them every single day. So they need dad to do something to change this. They need dad to get her out of their life. And perhaps when you do that, she might wake up, get help, and be a different person. But and if you keep doing this with her, she has no motivation to get any kind of help.
I feared that was the answer that I was going to get, and I only feared it because I know that I've been pushing on something that, you know, honestly, I should have done a long time ago, which was to do the initial advice, which was to, you know, listen to my kids.
Does she work and support you and you stay home?
She was... up until about 2016, at that point she was fired. I was already in the process of establishing a company. That kind of fell, you know, by the wayside, and then I started doing independent contracting, and that's pretty much what I've been doing over the last 6 years. So I'm actually now the breadwinner of the home.
Okay. So I'm glad that you called us, because you might not get this from anybody else, because, you know, the right Christian thing to say in many circles is, well, you have to hang in there no matter what. But man, this is beyond you, and it's beyond her. It's your kids. And so I really think, just in the case of a woman whose husband is unfaithful, sometimes we say you have to do something pretty dramatic first. Safety, emotional, spiritual, and physical for the kids. And then perhaps doing that might wake the person up to the reality of what they're living.
The other thing too, Steve, that reality can be set by a court, because they will listen to 14-year-olds. They will say, what is going on with you? What's happening at your home? They can also order a psychiatric evaluation. And when it comes down into custody issues, if the kids were to say, I don't want to be with mom, you know, that's really important for the courts to hear. Because I think your wife needs help. Something's wrong. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of, as we've already said, a lot of fear and paranoia, and then a lot of, you use the word projections, but there is a lot of collusional, delusional types of thinking.
Well,
yes, Becky?
And I want to say one thing before we go to the break. Adam, you need help as well.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to get focused on being the best dad you possibly can be, whether she gets it figured out or not.
Right.
So that your kids aren't questioning your judgment. They're not questioning why you're doing. They know their dad. They trust their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will require you sitting with a counselor, you getting with a group of men on a regular basis, not to try and figure out these last years of why this happened, but literally, what am I going to do with what I have and going forward so that I can have a good positive force in my children's lives. And I hope and pray that your wife would respond to that, but we don't know that. And I know from your history, what you're saying is it's more of the same. So let's do something new and get a new start on your life.
We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. You can always download our app, and we're there all of the time. Let's go to Denise, Allentown. Wait, no, let's finish. A couple of more things here just to wrap this up. Just to say tough things need to be done. Hope that it causes her to make some changes. She may need some serious psychiatric help. Please listen to those kids. And I'm going to send you a copy of Every Man's Bible. Just my way of saying, glad you called us. I just found out today that Every Man's Bible has sold over 10 million Bibles.
Mm. Wow.
That's a lot of Bibles.
Wow.
So,
a lot of men.
a lot of men have been helped by that. All right, now let's go over here, and I had the person right there. Let's go to Denise from Allentown, Pennsylvania, WBYN. Hi, Denise. How are you, and how can we help you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
Good. I have my husband on the line. Me and my husband both are on the line, and he listens to this station, like he said, the past 3 weeks, and he just told me about it, and we wanted to call in with a question. We've been married we've been together over 30 years, married 20.
Okay.
And we have a lot of problems in our marriage.
Okay. What do you need help with today?
Well, you want to talk, honey?
We more so trying to look for some professional help, some counseling. A lot of infidelity and on my part, and addiction abuse, and I'm addressing that now. But I'm trying to, you know, put some substance, some trust back into our marriage, and I think I'm ready to get professional help. I've always been against it, but I know it's needed, and I talk to you guys every day now, and I get a lot from your station.
Okay. Well, what kind of what have you done so far to help with these affairs and things like that? What are you doing?
Well, with my addiction, I'm clean. I'm establishing relationship with other guys that's been clean. But the other part, me cheating and everything, it's just been, it's just been an ongoing thing.
Yeah. And are you in any kind of program to help you, or are you just meeting with some guys?
No. I go to AA.
Okay, that's good.
In AA.
All right. Well, we need to treat this other thing too. You need treatment for that. I'm sure you've heard about that. Let me turn you over to Mylon and Becky and see what they have to say here. They might be.
What do you think, Becky?
Well, here's the thing. I appreciate, James, the fact that you have intention to change your life. Intention will get you about 3 minutes in the right direction, right? You got to have a plan. You got to have a process. And so if you're going to AA, if you're going to NA, that's a good step in the right direction. However, you also have to deal with this sexual integrity issue. I'm sure that all of this is wrapped up in something in your past, which you probably have not gotten to yet. But, you know, Denise, you've been the recipient of all of his struggles. I'm not saying you're innocent, but I think this is probably why you guys have had a difficult marriage. And so, have you ever thought about working with a counselor together as you get going forward?
Yes, I've been to counseling because, again, there has been a lot of cheating and a lot of infidelity. So for me, I've been to counseling and different groups to try to work through it. And I love my husband and he loves me, but we've had so many issues. So I was trying to work through it as a Christian woman, trying to work through it and stay and uplift my marriage and try to make it work. You know, well, but it's just that now he's on board and we're trying to figure out what do we do, where do we go from here?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I wonder, you know, a lot of times a man will only live up to what the woman is expecting him to do. And so I hear your commitment is wonderful, but that commitment also has to come with some expectations from him, right?
Yes.
In other words, you reached a point where you really need to be at a point where you're saying, okay, so now you're getting help for the drinking and here we go. So, but you're going to have to get more help, honey, or this really can't just be something we overlook anymore. So there has to be resolve on your part that it's going to be different. He needs to be different, or your reaction is going to have to be different. Does that make sense to you? Denise, does that make sense to you at all?
Yeah, yes, it does. It makes a lot of difference. When you said different, that's exactly it. And this first step that he did today, because I never knew about this radio station.
Yeah.
He called me. He's a truck driver. And
it's so good.
He called me, and this first step is definitely different.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
But what you got to do is say, okay, but now we got to look at what if what's going on now isn't sustained, see? Because a lot of times we get motivated and then we aren't anymore. We'll talk about that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, well, how about, Becky, you want to start with you or Mylon, either one, about how do we love this call. And James, if you're willing, we're going to scholarship you into Every Man's Battle. You initiated this call, and it's just wonderful. And so we want to keep you going here, but Mylon and Becky, what else we want to say here?
Go ahead, Becky.
Well, I just want to, you know, because he's a over-the-road trucker, I think that's going to be the excuse that gets used for not doing something different. And so we have to overcome these obstacles. The good news is we have life recovery groups that are available online. And so, you know, that may be a good step for you to get into, both of you actually, because Denise, you're going to have to learn a different way to connect, to heal from some of these offenses that have gone on. I would also encourage you both to join us at an intimacy and marriage workshop. You know, I know the challenge of, you know, work and family, but you guys have been together for so long. Mm-hmm. This marriage has to be a new marriage. Mm-hmm. So everything that you guys have kind of gotten used to doing has to be disrupted, interrupted, and a new path forward, and that's going to take a lot of work. So I would just encourage you, it's got to be, you know, counseling, a group, good support. And if you guys are involved in a church, it could be, you know, that you're with a couple's you know, group or something, you know, where you're seeing good, healthy marriages in front of you, and that's the way that you learn these new ways of doing your new marriage.
That's right. Mylon, what would you like to add here?
I rarely do this, James and Denise, to recommend our own book. But first of all, I do also want to say I'm very proud of both of you, very proud. And this is quite a surprise by joy call. I mean, this is joyous to hear of James listening to the show, calling his wife in, and Denise, you were so cute when you go, this is different. And I love that. And so I would say if you start reading How We Love, and the comfort circle in the last third of the book tells you how to begin having new and different conversations. If James is a driver and he's driving a lot, everything that book is streaming. It's also, you know, an audio version, so he could listen to it. And then I agree with Becky for you guys to Denise, for you to go to Restore, which is a great place to join with other women who have been hurt, betrayed, abandoned at various times. And then to come to one of our three times a year, we have a New Life Marriage Intensive at three different parts of the country, and we'd love to see you at one of those.
All right. I'm so glad you called.
We'll wow, get what
How
a great
We Love
call.
To you. I'm going to send also Worthy of Her Trust. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want any of those or want any information about our workshops. Larry is worthy of our trust. He's been that way for almost 20 years. Larry, what do you have for us today?
And How We Love Larry.
Yeah.
I mean,
now,
there
just,
we go.
We need to write that book.
Hey, I'm sure Rhonda's already written it.
Hey, yeah. I want to do something different today. I wanted to encourage folks to really think about what we do here in seeking funds and fundraising. And there is a book that Henry Nouwen wrote. Henry Nouwen was a Dutchman. He has since passed, but he was a professor. He was an author. He was a speaker. He was a pastor. And he wrote a little book called The Spirituality of Fundraising. And when I discovered this book some years ago, I thought, hallelujah, this is my heart. And so I want to read one short little paragraph out of it. He says, fundraising is proclaiming what we believe in such a way that we offer other people an opportunity to participate with us in our vision and mission. Fundraising is precisely the opposite of begging. When we seek to raise funds, we're not saying, please, could you help us out because lately it's been hard? Rather, we're declaring, we have a vision that is amazing and exciting. We're inviting you to invest yourself through the resources God has given you, your energy, your prayers, and your money, in this work to which God has called us. Our invitation is clear and confident because we trust that our vision and mission are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season and their leaves do not wither. From Psalm 1. So sometimes we get caught up and it feels like we're begging. But we want you to know that we have a vision. Our vision is to help people experience Christ and to experience the Holy Spirit move in such a way that your mind and heart is different. You have a different perspective in life. And we invite you in that with us. And people that have the resources and people that need the resources, when they intersect, great things happen for God's kingdom.
Amen.
And that's why we seek what we do. And I would add, if you want a copy of this book, email me at larrys@newlife.com. And I'd be happy to send one to you. I think it would say to you that we're really serious about money and finances and resources. And it's a spiritual exercise. It's not just us asking for money.
That's right. It really is. And no one, I think, gives like our givers give. And Larry, even when you ask, I mean, it's so from your heart. And so if you want this book, please email us. If you can help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to newlife.com. Be part of these great things that God is doing through this ministry.
And the thing I like about that book is you can read Henry Nouwen's book now and later, you know, so you have your choice of when you want to read it.
When I say book, it's kind of a booklet.
It's a booklet.
It's not very long.
All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. If you didn't get the email, what's your email one more time, Larry?
LarrySS@newlife.com.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
Thanks
for all you do and who you are. Let's go to Terry, Rockwall, Texas, KWRD. Hi, Terry. How are you today?
I am great. Thank you for taking my call.
How can we help?
I've listened to your program for over 20 years. Probably should have called several times. And I'm a New Life member.
Wonderful.
Member.
Thank you.
Anyways, I have a 21-year-old grandson that I'm a guardian of. And he was born really early, 23 weeks. I've had custody of him since he was three. Mm. He's got several diagnoses, and he's got intermittent explosive disorder and ADHD. He's on the autism spectrum, and he absolutely doesn't have a mass brain cell, period. And he's depressed. And that being said, he's very high-functioning and very likable person.
Yeah.
And but anyway, he's been under care since he was 5 years old for mental health stuff. And he's also a believer, and a baptized believer. And he... but right now he's kind of turned away because he doesn't like his situation and he doesn't know why God allowed this to happen to him.
Okay.
And he's kind of developmentally, it's almost like he's 21, but it's kind of like we're going through teenage years. You know,
what is tell me the most disruptive thing that he does in the home there.
Well, he has these explosive meltdowns in the house, mm-hmm. and they come out of nowhere. You know, he'll misinterpret something, and he'll get mad. There's no, that's not really why I call, though. I've learned
Okay, what's your question? What's your question?
My question is, the phase that he's in right now, we're stuck. Normally, if he had a normal brain, I would have kicked him out of the house by now. And because he refuses to work or try. Mm-hmm. And now he'll do stuff for me. Now he gets a disability check, and I take, you know, some money out of it for his expenses, and he drives, so he has car insurance, and I take that out, and then he has some money that he uses for gas and stuff, and because he has no math concepts or whatever I give him is gone within hours.
Okay.
And so I can't give it up to him. But
so
anyway,
you want him to
I'm
work?
Trying,
you want him to work?
Well, I think he would be happier, but he isolates himself. He hangs around with people that don't really have a lot of ambition and don't have any expectations of him. And he has a vehicle and they don't, so they'll I think they use him for a ride to their work or
else. So what's your question?
And,
Terry, what's the question?
My question is I don't know where to go, I don't think it's really legal for me to kick him out, but I don't think he could make it, but I don't know what I need to do with him. I don't know what the next step is for me.
Okay.
Him
We're going to give you some help. We'll give you help for this right after this little message here. Got to go to this break. You're listening to New Life Live. Really glad that you are. Thank you for trusting us with your time.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And so we're talking about 21-year-old at home, and Terry's a guardian. Explosive disorder, that's a little problem, but she's dealing with that. But the big thing is, he is not working. She doesn't know what to do. So Becky, Mylan, which one of you thinks maybe you could help this really tough situation?
It's part of my own story. I mean, my son, who's 30, also has disabilities, didn't have the explosive. But first, I want to just say thank you, Terry, for being a good grandma, being a good parent, and for providing a safe and stable home for him. Because even though he has these issues, you have provided some stability for him. As far as the work thing goes, this is going to be his next thing. So I assume he graduated high school. If he has a car, so he has some ability. If he has a driver's license. So we just need to set the standard that everybody works. We all have a job in some form.
We are from a family that has a strong work ethic. So it's hard for all of us to deal with this. But we went through the Texas Workforce Commission. And against his better judgment, we did it. He grudgingly did it. And he got a job at Brookshire's as a sacker. He was good at it. People liked him, all of that. There was a guy that somebody that he knew in the area, which we should have never gone to an area where he's familiar with, but he was harassing him at work, a customer, and it kind of came to a head. His psychiatrist was very proud of how he handled it for so long, but he ended up losing his job over it because the guy called him out at work and they had a big verbal thing.
Terry, here's the thing. It's not going to work out the first time. And so the next time, we got to look for places where there is some stability. There are some job coaches. I'm glad you were connected with those services. It'll make all the difference in the world. But I can tell you from my own experience and from the experience from a lot of people, it doesn't ever work out the first time. And so he might be feeling some anxiety because of what happened to him. And so you want to address that, but you can't let that go further, and you've got to have, I would say, a timeline and just keep working at it. But don't make this a source of conflict. This is what everybody's going to do. What do you want to do with your life? And maybe do some job training, some job exploration, but just get on that pathway out of not doing anything, because he's not going to be happy very long with all that time on his hands.
That's where he's at. He is not happy, but yet he admits that he doesn't want to work. He's lazy. He doesn't want to be responsible to somebody. And I tried to tell him that, if you want gas money after you run out of money, you have to do stuff for me.
For
gas money.
So
you're responsible.
Terry, what's the difference? Terry. There's more here, and Becky spoke out of her experience, and I'll speak out of mine. My parents had a sister that was older than me, and she was born with cerebral palsy, and she did not have physical fine and gross motor skill development was impaired, as well as she had cognition issues. And my parents had to have a longer view of what should happen to my sister, because they realized they were not going to be able to take care of her the rest of, for their lives were going to end while hers was still quite active. And they did everybody a favor by figuring out a longer term solution as to where my sister should be. And I was very involved in my sister's life, but I didn't have the complete authoritative financial responsibilities for her. And that was a real blessing to me as well. And I really want you to think, you said you would have kicked him out had he, had a normal cognition. But so you're also asking the question, what do I do? Because we can't manage this for much longer the way it is going. So it's a bigger, more compound question that you're going to have to do some work to find out what on earth can we do with a grandson like this who has these diagnoses and this condition. What are our future options? And that's going to be a part of what you need to be doing right now. The job issues are true. and helping him, but he also has to understand he's not going to be able to stay with grandmother and grandfather very long, or at some point in time it's going to have to change.
And I can tell you, Terry, that your own reactivity towards him is also coming from your own anxiety about what's going to happen to him.
Yes.
And so you have to work on that so that when you get into these kind of conversations where he's pretty highly reacted to whatever you're saying, that you can figure out a way to move back and say, okay, we're not going to talk about this right now. But there are lots of resources for him, especially because he can drive. But you know, you're going to need some help with this.
And, you know, you can say to him.
That's where we're at. We're 68 and 69 years old.
Okay. So you can say to him that you realize that he needed some time after that job that didn't work out. But now there's been enough time. And, you know, when people have anxiety, we say, well, go do it afraid, as an encouragement to them. If he's lazy, you have to say to him, well, you're going to have to do it lazy. You're going to have to go to work lazy. And then once you get in the swing of things, you're going to find that if things will go well, it's not a matter of lazy. You'll get in the routine. You'll enjoy having your own money to spend, but you're going to have to do it lazy. We can't wait till our feelings are all right before we go back to work. And maybe he can respond to that. While you're really finding what are the resources, sometimes a child like him needs a transition center. Other times, you know, it just may be a permanent residence. But I'm hopeful for him that, you know, you can help him find a way to be independent. He's going to need some skill training on life management along the way, but find those resources. I think that really is the first thing to do.
And sooner than later.
Yes,
I just can't accentuate that enough.
Now, we have so many calls. Oh, I wish I could get to these calls. Please call us tomorrow. We're right here at the same time. I will try to get to every one of you. Thank you for holding on. Please, please call us. I feel so badly when we don't get to you. In the meantime, here's what we do. We have an intensive for marriage. You don't just hear somebody speak. You go into a group with a licensed clinical Christian counselor. Now, when we talk about our marriage weekend, people will say, oh, it must be like this. No, it isn't. There isn't anything like this from Friday to Sunday. We do the same format with Every Man's Battle. And I have to tell you, there are thousands and thousands of men walking around this planet who are new men because of Every Man's Battle. I mean, it just has what it takes to turn this thing around. It doesn't do everything in a weekend, but the trajectory is totally different. And for every person that has had some kind of sexual integrity problem, every man, there are many times three women that have been impacted, the mother, the sister, the wife, the daughter. And to that end, we have Restore. Check out those at newlife.com and 1-800-NEW-LIFE. My thanks to you, Becky Brown. Always enjoy being with you. Mylan, thank you for your wisdom. And even though we haven't heard it a lot, your humor that is sometimes corny. We love you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.